Good evening and Merry Christmas. Please pray with me. May the forgiving spirit of him to whom we dedicate this season prevail again on earth. May hunger disappear and terrorists cease their senseless acts. May people live in freedom, worshiping as they see fit, loving others. May the sanctity of the home be ever preserved. May peace, everlasting peace, reign supreme. Amen. Tonight's Old Testament lesson is Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7, and it's found on page 792 of your pew Bible. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This has been the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading will be from Luke 2:1 through 26, page 1179 in your pew Bibles. Christ born of Mary. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her first son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Glory in the highest. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made a widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, as it was told them, the circumcision of Jesus. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus presented in the temple. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Simeon sees God's salvation. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This has been the word of God.
Tonight's story is of a grandmother who set up a creche in her dining room as she prepared for the holidays. All were safely gathered in, the shepherds, the tiny wooden sheep and oxen, the 3 kings, Joseph, Mary, and the tiny baby in the manger. There were even a few carved palm trees with their enormous wooden leaves stuck in mid-pose. One evening in Advent, the grandmother noticed her young granddaughter looking at the manger scene intently. Then she ran away and seemed to be looking all through the house for something. She darted back and forth to the creche and back again. She made her grandmother dizzy and a little anxious. Everything was in the creche. Nothing was missing from this eternal scene. All the characters were in all the right places as the story was told. The grandmother was absolutely bewildered. Finally, the grandmother approached the little girl, and the little girl said, "Grandma, where are the queens?" she demanded. "If there are 3 kings for Jesus, shouldn't there be 3 queens? Aren't you hiding them somewhere? Tell me." This young granddaughter brought us a gift this Christmas by reminding us that the Christmas story is so rich with parabolic undertones that if we have any imagination at all, we can see ourselves and our lives in the middle of the story. The granddaughter was not striving for gender equality so much as she needed to see herself or an image of her older self in the heart of the story. She wanted to be in the flesh at the scene of such a magnificent and tender drama. The Word made flesh, or the incarnation, the theological word, or the 2 Latin words, in carne, or in the meat. We hope every Christmas that light and love will come to us in the flesh, in the very meat of our human existence. Christmas is about the hope that the Word made flesh will come into the world once again this year, or finally for the first time. The story of the birth of Jesus awakens in us that mystical hope. Angels sing and dance in the sky. Tired shepherds drop their work and come running. Seekers follow distant stars on a dark night. All serve to awaken within us a search for meaning that goes deeper than the story itself. And Luke tells it particularly well because while Mark simply says Jesus was born, Luke has this whole Broadway production where you can see the lights come on and you can see the chorus girls come out dancing and you can see the shepherds doing their thing out there and the wise men in their getup. Luke really knows how to tell a story, whereas Mark just kind of gives you the facts and that's the end of it. The story reminds us to go beyond our pre-critical naivete and to delve into the mystery of what it means to be the embodiment of the divine in the epiphany of God in the shining face of a newborn child. We no longer hear the Christmas story as a report of what really happened, but we get to behold it in a new and powerful way. At Christmas, we remember that new life is not just in the past, what has already happened, but new life comes alive in our present hope for our world and ourselves. Have you ever been present at the birth of a beautiful baby? Seeing the child's face come to life in the world in those first few seconds is a moment to never be forgotten. In him was life. And it was one of the most exciting things that, at least for me, that I have ever witnessed. There is nothing like seeing a new life come into this world. And God has blurred the distinction between the holy and the ordinary, the divine in the everyday, the mysterious in the real, when born in a manger, in a cave because shepherds were out in the field, the Son of God was born. We are dust and deity. We are stone and star, as the poet Rilke reminds us. Matter and spirit are the twins of Christmas. And we are woven into every aspect and every corner of both the mystery of God and the reality of life on earth. The spirit is made of flesh and bone, and the material is an encasement of the Holy Spirit. The story of Christmas is a gospel attempt to place spiritual hope in a human event. Luke's gospel was written in the time of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus, who was declared by the powers and principalities as a savior whose birth would bring good news of salvation. He would bring that good news of salvation to the people. And he, Caesar Augustus, would bring peace on earth. Now, this is not the point of the sermon, but I need to make a diversion. If you want to understand the book of Revelation, the key to the book of Revelation is simply this, that we not bow down to King Caesar, but that we bow down instead to King Jesus. And if you get just that one sentence, the book of Revelation is about who are you going to bow down to, King Caesar or King Jesus? You have totally understood the entire book of Revelation. But that's a diversion, or what was it Kmart used to say, a blue light special? That was a blue light special, and now back to the sermon. Caesar, the mighty Caesar, our baby, cradled in a feed trough in an outdoor shelter in an out-of-way part of town. Where is the good news of humanity? Shall we find the grace of God and the power and wealth of the empire? are in the life of a peasant who is born in the back streets of Bethlehem. Luke has the audacity to suggest that we shall find the peace of God incarnate in humility and love in out-of-the-way places and through those we might never imagine. The story of this birth describes, as best we know, wisdom and word are born in us through the spirit of love, compassion, and generosity. The fullness of grace and truth cannot be found through the power and principalities of empire, but will come instead through acts of forgiveness and reconciliation and hope. If you want to see where God is really at work in the world, find the place in which there is love, and I guarantee you, you will find God there as well. Years ago now, I was walking through the streets of New Orleans, and I found myself in a busy street with a line of frantic Christmas shoppers. I still remember the day. It was a day not unlike we've had this past week. It was a foggy day. It was such a foggy day that even though it was about 4 p.m, you could hardly see. And I will tell you a secret about your preacher. I love nothing better than walking in the quarter when it is just a foggy day. There's a beauty to it that cannot be matched. But on that day, with all those frantic shoppers around me, there was a solitary lady standing on the sidewalk holding an empty tin coffee cup. She was wearing sunglasses, even though I've already told you it was foggy, so I assumed that she was blind, although I don't know that for sure. She held out the cup in front of her, and she never changed her sales pitch, not as people approached by without giving, not as a coin was tossed into her cup. She simply said her own mantra in rhythm with her body, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." It was a simple incantation, and I thought to myself, as it was only a few days before Christmas now, let every heart prepare him room. Christmas is about how we might prepare room for the love of Christ. How might we prepare for his compassion in his generosity to be born not in somebody else, but to be born in us this day. See, you and I are very good about saying, boy, that person needs an attitude adjustment. But there's a lot of times that we need an attitude adjustment and we don't even see it. So how is it that we prepare for him to be born in us this day so that peace will reign within us and prosperity will reign within us because we know the peace and the prosperity of the Lord? Let's look for love in all the wrong places, because that is precisely the message of Jesus. You never would have thought to find him where you did, but if you look for love in all the wrong places, there he was, right there. Incarnate love that made its way into the world. So on this holy night, may the Word made flesh come to dwell in us, in our very skins, full of grace and truth, and let us receive this fullness. This year, may love get the better of us. Did you hear me? This year, may love get the better of us, so that along with all of God's creation, we will sing that song, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.